We are back. The Gunsmith Show right here on US 103.1, your home for ultimate classic rock. We are going to talk some more about clones, but it's a different kind of clone.
Yeah.
John will get into that here momentarily.
Yeah.
This segment is brought to you by Tri-County Roofing. Fantastic folks. These guys are great. They specialize in commercial roofs, but they do all kinds of them.
Yeah, and they've been friends of me and the show for a long, long time. Been sponsoring the show for about 10 years now, and we certainly appreciate them.
Did he get a deer yet?
I've heard, well, no, not
mixed reports.
He's actually hunting in Michigan and in another state. So he's got a pretty hardcore work ethic towards deer hunting. He's gonna fill those freezers.
I know he is.
But I'm still enjoying the sausage you made for me, so I appreciate that.
That's right.
Good stuff.
But has he been up at the compound?
Yes, he has. And it was an odd week. Now, we follow deer season, and true hunters know this, and they know that the deer are cyclical. They do things in a pattern with the moon. And 3 weeks ago, it was a tremendous active season for deer. It was right in the middle of just the prime of rut. And now they're in the chase period where things are going really good. And Thursday and Friday of this week were really good, supposedly, and the deer were moving. And we'll see how today is. Hopefully it'll hold on for today. Weather changes things, but the moon cycle makes a tremendous difference in how these deer move. And we hunted the peak day a few weeks ago, and I stopped counting at 35 deer that day that I'd saw. Now, last Saturday, the opener, I saw zero deer, you know, so it's like, you know, all that buildup for nothing, you know, but you still stay out in the woods because you never know when they're just going to come running through.
Right.
And then the second day of deer season, or on last Sunday, we get out to heading out to our blind Sunday morning, and there's, it looks like a freight train coming through the cornfield. Well, the combines are cutting the corn all night long. So it just disturbed the deer all night. So there's nothing we can do but sit down and hope that maybe a couple will stray our way.
Mm.
And we never saw a deer all day again on Sunday.
Mm.
So when I hunted Sunday morning and Sunday night, and no
what's
deer.
Wrong? What's wrong with these farmers?
Well, farmers got to do what they got to do. I just wish they'd do a little earlier in the year.
That's what I'm saying.
Either that or wait till after deer season.
Can't you wait till after?
But it's, you know, it's
only a couple weeks.
It's their crops. It's their fields. They got to do what they got to do.
Suppose.
So now, and Tri-County understands that. Remember, you can always reach Tri-County Roofing, linking right through my website, thegss.com. You can call them at 810-732-7740 and know that your roof will be done right. I know I have the peace of mind knowing mine are. And every time I leave the house, I look up at my roof and I smile. You know, that's a good thing.
That's when you have it done right.
Yeah.
They do shingles, they do residential, but boy, if you have a business, know somebody that does a warehouse, flat roof.
That doggone skylight that's been leaking for 3 years and you're tired of having the little bucket underneath it that usually holds good warm popcorn, but now it's holding cold, wet water, and water is usually wet. So just so you know that. I didn't know if you knew that, Dan.
Thanks for clarifying.
Just trying to help.
But they can help with that. Tri-County Roofing, they're fantastic.
Did new skylights on the front and the back of my house. Did a beautiful job on them.
Yeah. So, he's not going to do it for you, though, but just for John.
No, he'd do it for you, too.
He doesn't do repairs. Not on residential. He does repairs for commercial, though.
Well, no, this wasn't a repair. He did the whole roof,
and
he says, "Let's put new
and make sure that the if you've got
let's replace these skylights while I'm doing it." So that was the peace of mind.
There you go.
Now I'm good for 25 more years.
Now you don't have to worry.
Yep, exactly. So, but you can again link to them right from my website, thegss.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, shooter@thegss.com, and I'll
show
get
topics.
Right back to you.
We're following up on clones in part because of the response you got last week from the show.
Yeah, I had several people ask me about, well, is this a good clone? Is this, you know, the guy at the gun shop said it was a Glock clone, but what does that mean? It's a good gun or a bad gun? Well, in this segment, we're going to talk about a gun that several of my friends have bought in the past year. And it's a very interesting gun. So, but I want to start from scratch. I'll just say this. Why do we look at clones? Well, why not just buy the original? Well, most people like to get the most bang for the buck. So the upgrades that clones have a lot of times can save you a lot of money because they include it in the price. And when I see people buying bare bones guns and then they go spend $1,000 to fix it up, when just a couple hundred dollars more, you could have bought one from the factory that was already had all those bells and whistles upgrades to it. Unless you just are one of those people that have to do it yourself, it makes sense to buy the guns that are as souped up as you want to make them. So sometimes they're subtle things. You don't even realize that it is more than the original had, but it can really trick out a handgun and make them more ergonomical or shoot better. And it could be just the aesthetics that you not necessarily have to have, but it is awfully nice to have them. But when you put a gun in your hand and it fits so perfect and you're like, look, it's so ergonomical to my hand. The first Glocks were blocks. You know, they used to call them blocks instead of Glocks because they were so big and so bulky that they were like, geez, this is not, you know, where Smith & Wesson had the beautiful guns with the curved grips and the finger grooves and all that stuff.
These were German made. Come here, criminal. I will shoot you.
Yeah. Well, and they do work. So now, there's a very popular one out there, and it's very similar to Glocks that have been all souped up. It is the SAR US SAR-9C, okay? And the SAR-9SC, Gen 3s. A lot of letters. Sorry about that. Turkish made. Just look up SARs. You'll be pretty impressed. Now, it doesn't take Glock mags, but you can look at it and see everything looks exactly like a Glock, only it has been all souped up. It's like looking at a Ford Mustang that's got a Cobra kit on it. You know what I mean? It's got a little bit of everything on it. The SR9C has, to me, so many impressive things for the money. I'm pretty impressed with it. And I got buddies that carry them religiously. They just love them. They love the way they work. It's a 15+1 capacity 9mm. The frame is reinforced polymer. It's got a 3.3-inch barrel. It's already got night sights on it, tritium sights. The trigger's a pretty clean 5 pounds, sometimes a little bit less. It's 1.1-inch wide. And this is the impressive part, 4.8 inches high and 6.4 inches long. So this thing is not very big. It is a good concealed gun. It's very compact. Now, it comes with one 12-round mag and one 15-round mag. Now, I haven't looked to see how much more mags are for these. That's one of the beauties of buying a Glock. You can always get your mags for under 30 bucks a piece. A lot of times, you can get them for about 20 bucks a piece. And more mags is a good thing. I usually, when I have a new gun, I make sure I have 6 mags for it, and I start shooting. And make sure all the mags work and begin the process of learning which mags work the very best and see if there's little glitches or anything that might mess with it. But this one comes with 2 mags, comes with a tool kit, cleaning kit, comes with a lock, a holster, which is a Kydex holster inside the waistband, I believe, and manual. And the MSRP on these things is, they're always under $500. And they're very nice guns. They're very, very impressive guns. Why do I like it? Because the doggone thing fits your hand so good. If you ever held a Walther P 99, it's got like the same grip curve on it, which is just ergonomical as heck. Very impressive. My friends that have these say that they wish they'd have bought them before they bought other guns because they wouldn't have bought the other guns because they like that gun so much. So I'm going to get out and shoot one and try it and see what I think. But I, you know, sometimes we got to broaden our horizons. Now, I want to talk a little bit about back to deer hunting now, because I want to go back and forth a little bit here. That deer hunting this year, knowing what you can do with your rifle is so important, and what you can't do with a rifle. It makes all the difference in the world. Heard a terrible story this week about a young lady that was shooting her first deer. She had a really clean shot on it. She took the shot. The deer fell right over on the ground. And then after like 8 or 10 seconds, it stood back up and walked away like nothing happened. And she was shocked. And she was shooting a single shot rifle. She did not I don't think she made herself ready for the second shot. But that's okay. It looked like a clean kill, and unfortunately it didn't work out that way for her. They searched for the deer for hours, and it did go on to other people's property that they don't have access to. And But those kind of stories we hear every year. So when you shoot a deer, I recommend that you make yourself ready for a second shot immediately and watch for the deer to move. You don't want to destroy the meat, but you also don't want to lose the game. If you realize it stands up and it's getting ready to take off, you might think of putting that second shot into the deer to bring it down to make it an ethical, clean kill and put it out of its misery as soon as possible. Another situation with the same caliber rifle was one of my cousins hunting up in Gladwin sent me pictures last Sunday of the end of a casing of a 243 round. And this was also a 243 round that hit this deer, which we can't hunt with down here. We can coyote hunt with them, but we cannot deer hunt with them. And the 243 round had a very slight dent in the primer. And he said, nothing stinks worse than pulling the trigger on a deer and it's so close and everything's perfect and you pull the trigger and all you hear is the click of the firing pin, but the gun didn't go boom. Well, he showed me the end of the shell and said, what could make that happen? So, and this all came to me while I was hunting. So I'm texting him back and I said, have you tried shooting it again to see if your firing pin's broke or if it's just gummed up? Because it was fairly chilly. And he was up north. It was a little bit colder than it was down here. Sometimes you can just get gummed up WD-40 or gummed up gun oil in your firing pin spring and area, or a little bit of carbon buildup in there, and you pull the trigger and it doesn't go boom. It happened to Jake and I the week before when we were shooting our guns, just warming them up for season, and with his 50 caliber pistol, and he had some light primer hits. And it can be, usually it's one of two things. It's either your primer's dirty, your firing pin is dirty and it needs to be cleaned. You need to thoroughly clean your gun for sure. But it could also be that the primer wasn't seated properly. And the young lady that took the shot did a good job. Her gun worked fine. It just didn't take the deer down well enough to get it, which happens a lot. And my cousin, with his shot, he didn't get a second shot off because the deer ran off so fast he couldn't get a second shot.
Yeah, heard the click.
Yeah, he heard the click and it bolted. So sometimes this stuff happens, but sometimes the firing pin will hit the primer, and if the primer's not seated properly, it'll push the primer forward as opposed to igniting.
That's why practicing with the equipment is you got to shoot it early.
You got to check things out before you hit the woods. What you got.
Yeah.
So next segment, we're going to really dig into the 450 Bushmaster and why it can do what it does. Then we're going to compare and contrast it to a 12-gauge in slugs. So it's going to be an interesting next segment. So hang on tight. We got more.
Keep it right here. The Gunsmith Show, US 103.1, your home for Ultimate Classic Rock. Back after this.